I had this thought that there might be someone that says, well, God, if you're good, I haven't seen it. But the very fact that you're here today or you're watching today is the goodness and grace of God that you have had breath in your body to come hear the truth. God wants to display his goodness in our lives, and he does want to help us. But you have to do something to position yourself for his goodness to come. And a lot of times we reject him and we push him away and we don't think that he has anything good for us, or we blame him for all the wrongs in our lives. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he came to give us life and life more abundantly. The thief is the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Who's the thief? The devil, the enemy, the god of this world, the Bible says. He's running the world system. And I don't think there's anybody in here or anybody watching that wouldn't agree that there's some pretty serious evil going on out in the world, right? But we can live for him, and he can help us navigate the evil in a way that it does not have to infiltrate our lives. He is good. He's got a good plan. He says he does. God is true to his word. Amen. Thanks for letting me interrupt you, honey.
Okay, so then we hold fast to our profession of faith without wavering, because he's faithful to that promise. We need to continue to say the things that the Bible says. That's how it activates in your life. You speak the desired end result. We're going to talk about that in a moment here. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your singing, your musicians, the church. We thank you for the faithful that are watching, sharing the church with us online, Lord God. We just bless every person under the sounds of our voice. When we say we bless, we just speak a blessing over them right now. We just thank you for opening eyes and ears and hearts to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Brian is our new AV guy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Brian. His son Ben is here with him, and so he's continuing to work on sound and to tweak things, so just bear with us. A few more services or whatever we need to get it all perfect. Amen?
Cool. Oh, do I get this myself? All right, I don't mind.
Well,
I can handle it. I could curl this thing if I wanted to.
Well, all right.
Don't curl it? I guess I couldn't. It's. Do we have a particular spot for it?
Right here.
I don't see tape. Oh, I see it. Yeah, I do. All right, cool. We'll figure this out. Hey, we got everything's first time for everything, right? Well, even though we're here for. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We give you honor and respect. Thank you, Lord, that you open our eyes to truth. Thank you, Lord, that you are God, and we bow our knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven is named. So it's at that name every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I had mentioned to you already that we are talking today about speaking the desired end result. And so I call it faith in action, because faith isn't faith until you say it. The Bible is full of saying it. The Bible says, whosoever shall say, Jesus said. Well, not just the Bible, but Jesus said, whosoever shall say to the mountain. Who talks to mountains? Mountains are difficulties and things that are in your way, blocking your progress, things that are causing you to be stopped in your place and to not have progress and momentum and going forward. Many things can be mountains in your life. It could be physical mountains. It could be mental mountains. It could be marital mountains. It could be family mountains. It could be job-related mountains. I mean, there are mountains of every sort everywhere. And so the Bible says, whosoever shall say to the mountain, somebody's going to have to start talking. Somebody's going to have to start saying something. You need to say what you want, not what you don't want. Unfortunately, the problem is that we say what we don't want all the time, and minimally we say what we do want. Saying what you do want, even when you don't have it, is called speaking your faith. We talk about faith from the Bible because the Bible is a book of faith. Right now, most of us have never seen God. I mean, we've seen visions in maybe our prayer where, you know, you got your eyes closed and you're praying, and all of a sudden you can see Jesus walking on water, or you can see, you know, all the different miracles that Jesus did, and things in the Old Testament, things in the New Testament. But I've not seen the Lord appear. There's been many magnificent occurrences, but all of them have been because I stayed in the Word and I stayed in prayer. So if you're getting visions of God, but you're never in the Word and you're never in prayer, then I would put a check on everything. I'd put a hold on it, okay? So because many, many have said, I've seen God, and I go, well, tell me a little bit about it. And when I challenge a person, if they have no Word in their life and they have no prayer in their life, I just go, I don't disrespect you for it, but I just go, true visions of God come through the Bible and prayer. And so if you want to see God, when you seeing a miracle, seeing a manifestation of the Spirit, those things are because you've been in the Word, because you've been in prayer. And so, again, you know, someone might come up after and say, well, I got a story to tell you because, you know, hey, good things happen to people and great things happen, and I believe God is good. Everybody say God is good. All the time. All the time. So, see, those are the things that we want to start putting in our mouth on a consistent basis. Christians, we got to quit swearing. Now, I don't swear. My wife doesn't swear. But I know that within our mix, some people are in church and they're holy, and then they outside they use the streets language, and the streets language is included with all the, you know, stuff that comes with it. And so one of the things we've got to move towards, you got to take a step up in everything you do. Hey, listen, the Vikings are going to play the Baltimore Ravens today at the Dome, all right? In order for the progress to be made, everybody's going to have to step up. The defense is going to have to step up. I'm talking about the Vikings. Hey, I'm wearing purple. Hey, but everybody has to step up, whether you're on offense, whether you're on defense, whether you're on special teams. If you're in church, everybody needs to step up. You can't come to church, and you can come to church. Of course, you can come to church. We want everybody to come to church. But when you come to church, you know, hey, I sing, all my life you have been faithful. You know, we sing all these good songs and stuff. And then if we leave the church and we go back to our world, go back to our life, go back to the way things were, that's not fruit. We want to produce fruit in the kingdom of God. And one of the ways I want to talk about producing fruit is, Pastor Nance touched on it, but I want to amplify it this morning. It's called speaking the desired end result. Everyone say that. Speaking the desired end result. Say it one more time. Speaking the desired end result. I am so persuaded that this is the truth of God's word. I am so persuaded that this is God who calls things which be not as though they were. That's speaking the desired end result. The Bible says in the script, I forgot where it's at, but God calls those things which be not. What do you mean be not? It means that they're not there. But God calls those things that are not there as though they were there. And guess what happens? They're there. That's how God operates. This isn't hocus pocus. This isn't, you know, weird stuff. This is what the Bible tells us is the truth. I can back up what I'm saying by the truth. I always back up what I'm saying by the Bible. That's why I say a lot of scripture, so that anyone and everyone knows I'm backing it up by the Bible. There's so much weird religion right now. There's so many weird ideas and stuff. Listen, if you think I have weird ideas, I'm going to say some things today that you're going to say are weird, but I can back every drop of it up by the Word of God. So if I can back it up, then it is truth. And if it's truth, then we're going to speak the truth. We're going to speak it in love, but we're going to sock it to you sometimes. It feels like I'm socking it to you, but sometimes it feels like I'm stepping on toes, but I'm speaking the truth. Sometimes truth, you know, hey, we all need to grow. And sometimes the truth is challenging to us. And sometimes we walk out and we go, wow, I don't know, man. But if it's the Word of God, always make the choice to agree with God's Word. Don't agree with yourself. You're just you. He's Him. He's the Lord. He's the King. He's the ruler, the universe, the God of the universe. In Him, listen to this, in Him all things consist. There's nothing outside of God. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so in John chapter 11, very familiar passage. Did I say a prayer, Nance? I think I did. Did I say a prayer, you guys? Father, thank you for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, there's another example here. It doesn't always have to be a long prayer. Right. If you say short prayers, you'll say prayers all the time. If you say one long prayer, maybe you won't pray much. But if you just say, thank you, Lord, for my food, in Jesus' name, amen, I don't have to, you know, call out the peas and the carrots and the bread and the meat. I don't have to identify it and, you know, I mean, I just thank you. If I continually have thanks coming out of my mouth, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise and thanks. If you want to take a step up today in your faith, welcome to anybody at home. I'm gonna look at that camera. If you want to step up in your faith, praise and worship God. Give gratitude out loud. Hey, you know what? You could see today's in our society today, everybody's talking. It used to be that if you saw somebody talking and there was nobody around, you go, boy, that dude's weird. She's really weird, you know. But now everybody's talking. Why? Because they got earpieces or something, or they got microphones or something. They're either talking to a recorder, or they're talking to a phone, or they're talking to somebody. So who cares? Who cares if you look weird? You're weird anyway. We're all weird. Everybody's got their own weirdness. So what? We're unique. God created us in his likeness and his image. So in that regard, from the inside, our spirit is like God. But outside of God, I see a bunch of weirdos out there, and I'm okay with all of you. Amen. Even my wife. She's the closest to perfect I know, but she's still a weirdo too. But just saying, you know. All right, so in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was this Martha who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Now that is outside the box. The Bible says that was really expensive perfume. You know, today, I don't know anything about perfume, but I know cologne. And if you buy good cologne, it costs you a lot of money. But that, in that day, it was worth way more. It was very expensive perfume. But praise God, Jesus is worth it. Babe. What she was doing was she's saying, this is the best I've got. I don't have anything better. And I'm going to take this bottle, I'm going to break it, and I'm going to anoint your feet, I'm going to anoint your hair, I'm going to anoint you with the best that I've got. And so Mary's gift goes down in history. Think about that. Some people might go, that's kind of embarrassing what she did. He's at a party with the group of guys hanging out, and here comes Mary. She's got a kind of a bad reputation. All the guys are snickering when she came in, but she's crying, dripping her tears on Jesus' feet. Jesus has been walking around. He's got sandals on. His feet are all dusty and dirty. And she drops tears on his feet for water, and she, as for a cloth, she uses her own hair. That's humility. What was she doing? Was she trying to get his attention over anything? No, she was humbling herself to the deepest degree she could think of. And she goes down in history as a hero of the Bible. Keep that in mind, that we sometimes think that some people are acting weird, but in reality, their eyes are on the Lord. They're doing it for the Lord. So if we do it as unto the Lord. Now, sometimes people are just saying, look at me, you know. It's always look at me. No. You focus on God. That's why we close our eyes. Because then we don't have to care what anybody else is doing. We're just worshiping. We're worshiping. We don't care what you're doing. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. So I encourage somebody, you can step out today. Today could be your day. Then I'm going to quit worrying. I'm going to quit. I mean, we all did. When we first came to church, we all look around like, who's looking at me? You know, and then I notice everybody's closed eyes, hands up, worshiping God. I can do that too. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. All right, so is that Mary who anointed Jesus with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick? Verse 3, therefore the sisters sent to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Jesus instantly, how does Jesus respond? It's not because he was God. Of course he's God. But we learn, and I've got this amplified on my sheet in darker letters, Jesus instantly spoke his faith to the situation. Instant response. Therefore, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Jesus spoke his faith by declaring the desired end result, or faith in action. When Jesus heard it, verse 4, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." Well, if you read the story, if you know your Bible, he died. Yet Jesus spoke his faith. When anybody comes to you with a problem, with something that is outside your ability to deal with, handle, or it just is befuddled you, you still speak your faith or don't say anything. Don't agree with any negativity. Don't agree with any doubt. Don't agree with any fear. Don't say anything if you can't say something positive. Where do you get that from? From Jesus. Jesus speaks his faith. Therefore, Jesus said instantly this, he said, "This sickness is not unto death," verse 4, "but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." This is victory over death. It's glory to God. Victory over death brings glory to God. Death doesn't always have to be a physical body dying. Death can be former lifestyle should die. Somebody is still battling a former lifestyle. That thing should die. Crucify your flesh. Put that thing to death. Put that thing in the trash and cover the lid. "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." What's the unclean thing? The thing that is dogging you, harassing you, saying, come on. Can I take some more? Smoke some more? Drink some more? Touch some more? Feel some more? And you got to put that thing and put the lid on it and touch not the unclean thing. The unclean thing is anything that's sin. Some people won't even call it sin. "Well, it's my problem." It's sin. If it's a problem, it's sin. Someone goes, "Well, you want to argue over that?" I'm going, well, if we get to the root, it could probably trace back to something that was not fruitful in the kingdom of God, and therefore I'm not afraid to identify something that's not fruitful in the kingdom of God as sin. I'm not afraid to say it's sin. Some of us are going, "Oh no, not me. I wouldn't call it sin." Yeah, I call it sin. I call any failure, mistake, any shortcoming, any misuse of my mouth, I just call it all sin. "Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. In the name of Jesus, I ask for you to forgive me." I'm asking for forgiveness all the time. So what? What do you care? What do you care if I'm asking God for forgiveness all the time? You don't hear me. It's between me and him. And I get forgiven. And you know what happens when I get forgiven? I got the joy down in my heart. Where? I got joy. I got peace. I walk in long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. Man, I could be messed up in a split second and get fixed. Just like that. Because I ask God to forgive me. I don't wallow in sin and, "Oh, I'm so bad, and it's take me a week to repent." How dare you take a week to repent? Arrogance and pride is the only reason you won't admit your sin. The Bible says if I admit my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of unrighteousness. Just admit it. Well, you don't know. Who cares? Everybody's got something. Everybody's got something, except maybe Pastor Nan. She's an angel, except when she yells at me. But otherwise, she's... So Jesus is doing what the Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation, speaking the desired end result. And how do you do that? You say it. Well, whosoever shall say... Jesus said that, and most Christians don't believe it. "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Therefore, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have that. So Jesus has given us these instructions, and yeah, it's the bridge, the bar is high. It's a high bar. Faith is the high bar. His word is the high bar. I don't accept, you know, I love pastors and preachers that tell you the truth. I love them that the ones that step on your toes. You know why? Because it challenges us to step up. You know, we can't let our Christian family run around you know, come to church and act all holy and then run around and act all carnal and live like the world and do everything they do. Man, we got to change. It's got to be personal change. It's got to be effective change. It's got to be difference. Christianity is supposed to be a difference maker. Make us different. Somebody say amen while I look at my notes here. All right, so Jesus is doing what the Bible is teaching. Jesus was using his words for a miracle. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Lazarus had checked out for a few days. Jesus Christ was creating a miracle by his words, using his words for the glory of God, creating a miracle by his words. Friends, without any argument, there is no ingredients for miracles if you don't use your words. Now, things can happen because other people are praying. We've got prayer groups that pray here, and they're good Bible-believing Christians who pray in faith and believe that something good is going to happen for the church. And a lot of times, those prayers are answered by God, and good things are happening, and progress is being made, and people are growing up into Christ and all things. But through prayer, victory, and all these things come when we, how often do we get on our knees? Well, I only go to one knee now because this one doesn't bend all the way. But praise God, laying on the floor or getting before God. You can pray standing up. You can pray in your car. You can pray running, jogging. You can do whatever you want and be praying. The point is, start praying. Be a prayer. We've got prayers all over the church. We've got prayers in the family of God. We're grateful for the prayers because they know how to pray. They pray in faith. They pray in the word. They pray in the spirit. They pray all these good things. Amen. All right, so Jesus was creating a miracle by his words before it happened when they came and said, Lazarus, the person that you love, is sick. And Jesus spoke the desired end result, saying, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Okay, so again, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God. Imitate God. Do you think Paul was serious? Do you think he really meant be an imitator of God? As dear children, children imitate their parents. Where do we learn our sayings and our slogans and all the things that we use in our common communication? We learn them from our parents. And this says here that be imitators as God. So we want to mimic or imitate God by doing what he does. And what does God do? He speaks the desired end result. God has the ability to see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, and he speaks the desired end result. He speaks what he wants to happen, and it happens. That's pure faith. That's perfect faith. That's God perfectly. Amen. So what do we do? So when somebody comes and says, you got a problem, some of us, we do have to work out the math formula, or we have to work the problem or figure it out, but we don't always want to be working the problem. We want to be speaking the solution. We want to be speaking the answer. We want to speak our faith. We want to call those things which be not as though they were. That means I'm saying what doesn't seem to look like it, but I'm calling it the way I believe it should end up, and therefore that's called faith. And Jesus gave us the example, and so he spoke it that way. He spoke the desired result. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. All right, so in John 11:5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. That's an interesting Jesus, drop everything and come with us right now. And he stayed 2 days. That's interesting. He didn't drop everything. You know why? Because he had already said, this sickness is not unto death. If he didn't believe what he said, he would have dropped everything and run, get my hands on him. That's a good thing. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But he spoke his faith. And Jesus knew the Father always hears him when he prays. He knew that everything he said will come to pass. Therefore, he said what he wanted to happen, and he just, I'll be there. I might take a little bit of a longer way around instead of going directly at you. But this is the desired end result. He spoke it out that this sickness is not unto death. So now, by staying two more days, Jesus allowed the negative circumstances to unfold. Man, sometimes when we're looking for solutions right now, it seems like God is letting the negative circumstances unfold. Why? Because he's spoken the desired end result. You've spoken desired end result. He's going to allow us to use our faith. God has dealt to every person among you the measure of faith. Some use it and it grows. Others leave it stagnant and it's really not maturing or growing or developing or anything. But when I take the truth of God's word and I start acting on this word, then my faith grows. And pretty soon, I can speak things that before I didn't have the courage to say. I can dare speak the truth in love. Hey, speaking the truth in love sometimes does hurt, but nevertheless. All right, so Jesus stayed there for two more days, allowing the negative circumstances to unfold, and Lazarus died. All right? God is not the author of any bad, unfortunate, unseen, and negative circumstances. Christians, if you want your faith to work, believe that God is not the author of bad, unfortunate, unforeseen, and negative circumstances. Things happen to us, and we need to believe and use our faith that God will get me out of unfortunate, bad, unforeseen, and negative circumstances. That God has a solution. That God can turn this thing around. That God is, if God is for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I condemn every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, for this is the heritage of the children of God, and his righteousness of me, saith the Lord. So I am believing that regardless of my circumstances, if I'm sick or if something happened in my finances or something happened to my family, or something happened to my job, something happened to my vehicle, something happened to whatever, I'm not going to blame God, but I'm going to look to God for a solution, and I'm going to stand in faith believing that it's going to come to pass. That is what the Bible teaches us to do. So the question is, do we do that? All right, so again, God is not the author of bad circumstances, unfortunate, unforeseen, negative circumstances, negative, bad, contrary circumstances. In my book, death is always a negative circumstance. After 2 days, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. After 2 days, verse 8 says, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews seek to stone you. Why are you going there again? Verse 11, these things he said after he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps. He died. We're going there. Lazarus died, but I go that I may wake him up. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. Why did he put it in those terms? Because he had already said that this sickness is not unto death, and everybody says, well, he's dead. And so he's not going to say it. He won't say it. If he says it, guess what? It's over. If Jesus, who is God, says and agrees with everybody, it's over. So Jesus says, we're going to go wake him up. Let's go there and wake him up. And so in verse 8, the disciples said, Rabbi, the Jews seek to stone you. Why are you going there again? Verse 11, these things he said after that, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I make him wake him up. 12 says, his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. They didn't understand. He's dead. 14, Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. That's shocking because, oh, hey, if Lazarus is sleeping, hey, that's what you do when you're sick. You just sleep it off, right? So Jesus had to clearly tell them he died. But we are avoiding those negative circumstances or negative words as much as we can until it gets to the point where you just have to speak it straight out. But then you get right back in faith. Even though you say, well, I have to say that. I'm not going to keep saying that. I'm not going to keep that confession. I'm going to we call it confession. I'm not going to keep confessing that negative thing. I'm going to speak the desired end result. So we're looking, the negative thing is there, but I'm speaking in that direction. I'm going contrary of what the circumstances say. This is what Jesus is teaching. This is what, I mean, you can find this from Alpha to Omega, from Genesis to Revelation, all over the Bible. Proverbs is one after another. And so that's why Proverbs is such a good book. All right, so they said, Lord, if he sleeps, he's getting well. 13, however, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Jesus Christ, the Son of God and second person of the divine Godhead, allowed these events and circumstances to unfold by staying where he was for an extra 2 days to show his disciples his absolute authority over all aspects of creation and the laws that govern the earth and over all the power of the devil and darkness. So Jesus Christ is saying, I'm not going to fall apart because Lazarus died, because I already said we're going there to wake him up. And he's going to stick to his confession. He wasn't doubting. Jesus never doubted. Jesus said what he wanted to happen, and he knew it would happen. But we are getting this picture so we understand how we should be conducting ourselves. Now, somebody's going, you live this way? Well, once you want something good to happen in your life, you're either going to wish, oh, I wish something would change, or you're going to do what it takes to change something. It takes some faith and some diligence and some speaking and some resisting and some denying and some denying. I can't speak my faith and then go fulfill my lust of flesh, because it cancels my faith. Well, I didn't say anything. No, you did something. What you do cancels your faith, because your faith, your actions are speaking louder than your words. Your words are saying, oh, Jesus, I love you. Yes, yes, yes. And then you go over here and you're fulfilling your lust of your flesh, or drinking or doing drugs, or you're chasing or whatever you're doing. It contradicts what you said. So you're at a zero. And then you go, well, why didn't God do it for me? Because you're at a zero. We build our faith. We put the word of God in our heart. Now, that's a question. What word have you put in your heart? Thy word, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why?
That I would not sin against him.
So that I wouldn't sin against him. See, if you would today walk out of here going, sin is against him. A lot of people say, well, I didn't affect anybody. It was just me. It's my sin. No, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I'd not sin against you. But if I sin, you contradict what you are speaking in faith in the Word of God. Come on, everybody knows simplicity, that if you spend a quarter, you're just gone. You don't keep the quarter while you're spending a quarter. Something's got to give. If I speak my faith and I go and fill myself full of drugs, alcohol, sex, booze, perversion, whatever, if that's the way I live, I'm canceling what I say about God and His Word, and so I get a net zero. As a matter of fact, it's not a net zero. It's probably negative. Then when it's negative, guess what I'm doing? I'm opening the door. I don't want to live in a negative equation by saying the right things, but then doing the wrong things. Doing the wrong things puts me in a net negative. So a lot of Christians are walking around with a net negative, trying to clean it up with saying the right things. Maybe I'll say a few prayers. Maybe I'll spend a little time. Maybe I'll go to church on a Sunday, and maybe once in a while on a Wednesday, to create a net positive. But the net negative is still in operation. And so you got this equation going on. How do I get to a net positive? Say no to the flesh, say no to the mind, say no to sin, say no to alcohol, say no to drugs, say no to promiscuity, say no to things you know that the Bible says don't live that way. Now see, somebody's going, well, I'm not going to live that way. Choose your own path in your own direction. Jesus chose his own path. Somebody says, well, you think you're perfect? Who's perfect but Jesus? We all know nobody's perfect. Jesus is perfect. And because of his perfection, he says, we're going to go wake him up. We're going to go there right now. He's been dead for... So what happens when he says, I'm going to go wake him up? Jesus Christ spoke his faith that Lazarus would live again. This is speaking to the mountain. Speaking our faith in face of negative circumstances is equivalent to speaking to the mountain. Speaking faith-filled words is to contrary, negative, undesirable data, undesirable circumstances, undesirable facts or events, even death or anything we know is not of God. Jesus spoke to them all. He spoke to death. most of the time when people die, we just let them go because, man, I don't know. Some people believe in, you know, trying to raise people from the dead, and cool, I mean, if you want to, but if you guys die, we'll believe you went to heaven and we won't call you back. Somebody say amen. Amen. No, that wasn't a very good amen, because if I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to come back here. I mean, I liked life, but I want to go to heaven. I don't want to come back here. So don't call me back. Speaking the desire and end result. All right, so always speak what you want and do not speak what you don't want. And that's not easy to do because, you know, if you spend time with anybody for, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour even, or as we're running around these buildings and we're doing all this work to put this church together, thank you so much to all of you that just worked so hard and it was so fun, but some of us were really tired and sore. But nevertheless, you know, we speak what we want and we don't speak what we don't want. That's a simple little presentation, a little simple equation, but it's hard to do unless you spend time with God and you're God aware, you're God inside minded, then you can you'll be in an atmosphere of God's awareness or God presence. It's called the presence. When you're in God's presence, you're aware of what you're saying. When you get out of God's presence and you get around your work people, or you get around the bar after work, or you get around your family where they're all bad mouths, you know, then you let go of being God-minded and you're carnally minded, you're normal, worldly, all that stuff. But so what we want to do is we want to get into an environment consistently where we're saying what we want and not declaring what we don't want. Now, it's not easy to do, but where do you get the idea from? Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So we believe this. Don't anybody go, that's some weird stuff. No, it's not weird stuff. Jesus said it. If you're saying that stuff that Jesus said is weird, then you're weird. Your Christianity is weird. If you say that what Jesus said to do is weird, your Christianity is weird. Because we surrender to his word, we surrender to him, we'll let him tell us what's right, and we say, we submit. That's a good test for everybody just right now in their mind. Go, I submit to you, God. And you know what happens? A lot of us begin to have that checklist, like a cash receipt register spitting out a long, long list of things, you know? I don't know. Maybe there's just nothing. Maybe it came out blank. Praise God if it came out blank. But for some people, long list. We want to speak the desired end result. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God. How? Like dear children. Talk like your parents. Talk like... Many people learn tremendous wisdom, guidance, direction, common sense, brain power. Gain that from their parents. Be imitators of God. He's your parent as dear children. We are the children of God, so I'm going to imitate God. So if I take that seriously, do you take it seriously? If you take it seriously that I'm going to imitate God, that means that God calls things which be not as though they were. He's saying, there's nothing there right now, but I'm going to call it into existence. So sometimes we say some odd things that people may not understand, but realistically, I say these things in private, but because I'm a pastor and I know these principles, then I am going to speak them out loud. When things don't go our way, we're gonna speak to the mountain, and whatever the problem is, we're going to tell it to get out of the way. I speak to the mountain all the time, get out of my way. You know, what it does is it helps you to see what's going on in your life. Helps you to see where the trigger points are for the faith and trigger points for the contrariness. It's good to see your contrariness if you're willing to examine it and judge it and change. Nobody wants to see their mistakes all the time. I don't want to see misery. My life is miserable. I hate my life because all I see are my mistakes. Start obeying God. Start obeying the Word. Start putting the Word in. Start changing where you're going and what you're doing and what you're saying and who you're talking to and what you're looking at. Change something. I like that. That was pretty loud. Change something. It's real, though. Change something. What is it? You know, some of us take the easy route. Take the easiest thing to change. Change it. Just say, I'm not doing that anymore. That's what I did. There was a point in my life, I was raised in a Christian home, right? And we rejected it all, my brothers and family, you know. I mean, I don't know what they did, but for me, I said, yeah, but nah. Just meant that, yeah, I believe it, but I'm not doing it. So I went off and did my own thing. But I ended up in the pits of misery. And if you want to get out of misery, and I believe most of you have learned this, you've done this, but we're speaking to somebody maybe at home. You're in the pit of misery. That's why you're not here at church. Get your butt to church. No, but no, come to church. Start something. Do something. Make a step. And then pull a step out of the negativity. All right? You're moving forward and take two steps and get rid of one step and keep moving forward. And pretty soon you pick up momentum. And pretty soon, you know, you're saying prayers and you're reading your Bible and you're feeling good and you're living for God. That's the process. Process of growth and development. I need cleansing. I need to be clean. If I'm not clean, I don't know how anybody else feels, but if I'm not clean spiritually, if something's wrong in my mind, my heart, my life, I get miserable. And it's okay because I've built my spirit up to the point where if something's wrong, I'm miserable. And I'm miserable until I admit my sin. If I admit my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. Once he's cleansed me of all unrighteousness, peace. I walk in peace. Be imitators of God as dear children. And then Romans 4:17, I got a lot of scriptures. I want you to hear these because you'll see they do come together. Romans 4:17, God who gives life to the dead by calling those things which do not exist as though they did. God calls things that don't exist as though they do. Life be. Health be. Prospering be. Deliverance be. God speaks, calls things which be not. Maybe there wasn't any. But he just said it, and it happens. So imitate God as dear children. So I'm going to imitate God, and I'm going to say, purity, pure mind, pure life, pure body, come into manifestation. And then I find a scripture. You can do it any way you want, but that's the way I do. I mean, you know, I find a scripture to stand on. You know, probably for, let's see, how I can't even remember how old I am, probably 50 years, I've had scriptures in my pocket. I'm always writing scripture down. Why? Because I want to learn to memorize scripture. Because I don't want to have to run to my Bible when something goes wrong. Oh, where is that scripture again? Oh, I got to go to the concordance and find that scripture again. So I know it. No, I know it by heart. I can just speak it. Oh, goody for you. No, that's not the point. The point is I want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. This is important. This will change our lives. This is what it's all about. You know, I don't want to go to heaven and be known as a pervert. I know I just freaked somebody out. Ain't no pervs in heaven. They were pervs, but once they get to heaven, you're righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why we need to say right now, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right now, in the middle of my misery, my pain, my suffering, my sin, my pornography, my behaviors, my where I go, what I do, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because the power is in that word to change you and take you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To see who you are in Christ, to start calling yourself those things, guess what happens? All of a sudden, I don't want any more of that lifestyle. I don't want to hang out with those people anymore. I don't want to watch that anymore. I don't want to be like that anymore. You're on your road to health. Do you know, hey, if you're sick, speak health. If you're sick all the time, if your body's run down, if your body's tired, right there, I tell this story all the time, right there I was pulling out old carpet. And I got it all pulled out. And there was one piece that had a lot of glue on it. I said, you're coming out. So I ran over there, I grabbed it, I went, and my arm moved instead of the carpet. You know, oh no, what did I do? So I've been getting over this shoulder thing, you know. But what's the point of telling you the story? It was just simply that, you know, you got to just press towards the mark for the prize. Pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling. And you know what? I don't know if any of us want it when we're at that point. We're going, oh, I could never do that. Oh, I don't know about that. But what you do is you say it by faith. By faith, I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing towards this place, even though I'm at this place, believing that I can change. And guess what? I start coming up higher. Instead of bringing all the world into my life and being like the world and hoping that somehow, some way, I'll do better. You know, I listen to sports talk. And one of the guys on the radio every day on his show, he says, I'll do better the next time. I like it. I'll do better the next time. But if it's in your own power, guess what? You'll never do better the next time. You got to have God's help. You got to have the Word of God working in your life. You got to make choices. There's some suffering involved. Suffering? Who wants suffering? I sure don't want suffering, but there's suffering involved. Why? Suffering is saying no to the you you're changing. No, you're not going to act like that. You're going to talk like that. You're going to do that. You're not going to go there. You're not going to behave like that. You're going to come out from among them, and you're going to be separate, saith the Lord. And guess what? I'm not going to touch the unclean thing. How do you break habits? Touch not the unclean thing. Do you think there are millions of honorable Christians on earth right now? Millions. They're called doers of the word. They seek first his kingdom. They speak the word. They believe the word. They live by the word of God. And they reject sin. There's billions, millions, I don't know, billions. There's millions of devout, sold out Christians. They're honoring God by their life. So for any of us to ever say, I don't know if we could do that. I don't know if you can do that stuff. I don't know if anybody could be that way. I don't know if anybody could. Quit being a naysayer. Say, I can do all things through Christ. I can be the head and not the tail. You know what the tail is? Do I need to say the word? Hopefully not. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. And I'm blessed in the field. I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. Guess what happened? Wasn't the best at my job, but I always got the best job. Why am I whispering? Because if anybody finds out, they'll say, you weren't the best at your job, and I'll say, no, but God put me in the best place. What's that called? Above and not beneath. Blessed in the city and blessed in the field. I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. I said these things that I'm telling you way back when, and guess where I ended up? I ended up in the coolest jobs you could ever imagine. I could tell you stories about the jobs I got, and I'd go, Lord, can I really do this? You're putting me in this position of authority. You're putting me in this position of responsibility. You're putting me in this position with all these people with degrees and people that are excellent at what they do. And if I were to pick somebody out, I sure wouldn't pick me and put me in that job. I'd give all these people that job, but he put me ahead of everybody else. Why? Because I trusted him. I had faith. I was a doer of the word. I was hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and I was sincere. Sincere means that you aren't one way in front of your Christian friends and a different way when you're not around them. Boom! That ought to shake somebody up. Are you being too rough on us? No. Because if you don't like what I'm saying, just turn me off. No, not you guys on TV. You stay with me. But those of you here. Because even if you're here and you say, I'm not listening to you anymore, you're still listening. You're still hearing me. All right, so time. Boom. All right, we're getting there. All right, so let's finish this up. Guess what? I only got 4 pages today instead of my normally 5 or 6. So we're getting close here. We're at 3.5. There are millions of Christians around the world who know and understand this. I just mentioned that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, those that understand it are saying this: we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which is ordained before the ages for our glory. Before you were born, before this world was, there was a plan in the heart of God, and it was ordained for the ages before for our glory, for us to speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed. Jesus always spoke the desired end result because he knew what he would say would happen. Bless it and don't curse it. If I don't get anything today, just learn that. Bless it and don't curse it. If you don't like it, don't curse it. It's your life. Don't curse anything in your life. Bless it. Say, that's subject to change. I believe all things are subject to change. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. I'm the head and not the tail. I can do this. Now there's at least 7 times in Proverbs, wisdom says, speak the desired end result. Everybody say it. Speak the desired end result. Come on, so they can hear you. Speak the desired end result. Come on, one more time. Speak the desired end result. You think this is patty cake? You think this is phony, made up stuff? This is what Jesus taught. This is what the Apostle Paul taught. This is what wisdom teaches in Proverbs. I'll give you some examples. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. A well. You know how deep a well is? It's deep. Why? Because you dig way down deep. You dig way down deep. The righteous has a well full of good things. If you never say good things or never put good things into the well, you got stinky water. So nobody drinks stinky water. But when you got a well of life, it's good, clean, fresh, cold water. How refreshing is that? Verse 13 of Proverbs 10, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. Somebody understands this. Somebody's getting this. Maybe you're going, what's he talking about? Somebody knows exactly what I'm talking about, and you're going, I'm going to do this, or I do this already, and I believe many of you already do all this. Verse 19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Uh-oh, if I talk too much, I'll usually say something that contradicts. And if you want to take it to the extreme level, contradicting is sin. If I'm contradicting anything that I want to have in my life, then it's to believe I'm receiving that. What things so you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, then you shall have them. Whatever I'm believing I receive, I'm contradicting if I speak negative about it. So I don't want to contradict what I speak well about, all right? So then verse 20 says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. I don't have any coins on me. Choice silver. Oh, I was going to bring them. I had 2 of them on my desk. Bobby Lutze, when he comes to visit, he hands me a coin wrapped up. He's done it a few times, and it's a silver coin. And you look at it, that's cool. That's a piece of silver, and it's valuable because it's old. And I haven't really checked, but the tongue of the wise is as choice silver. The lips, verse 21 of Proverbs 10, the lips of the righteous feed many. If you speak faith, your positivity can feed frightened people, can tear away the fear. It can feed confused people, it'll blow away confusion. If the lips of the righteous feed many. The things you say might just inspire somebody. Man, I'm going to quit being a naysayer. I'm going to quit being negative. I'm going to quit speaking the death all over my life. Speaking death. So many people, even Christians, speak death. Oh, I'm going to die from this. No, you're not going to die. Say, I'm going to get over this and live. Say, I'm going to live. In Jesus' name. I'm just about done. You guys can handle this. 21, the lips of the righteous feed many. Feed them the bread of life, the word of God. 31, the mouth of the righteous, wait, 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. We need to identify ourselves when we say something that's dumb. Or when we say something that isn't wise. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. I don't have to have somebody tell me what's acceptable. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You've been born again. You are children of God. And when you seek God and lean into God and you stop saying everything that wants to come out and you start going, what is acceptable to God? Pretty soon you'll speak only what is acceptable. And that's a challenge for everybody, all of us. All right, Paul confirms it. In Ephesians 4:29, what does Paul say in 4:29? Many of you know by heart. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt communication is all the stuff I was talking about. Everything that is unfruitful or bears dead, ungodly fruit. So if you swear, if you come to church and you worship God and you sing and you pray and then you walk out and you swear all the time, That's just unfruitfulness. You're letting corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt communication doesn't have to be swearing. It can just be saying, oh, you stupid piece of junk, you just never work. That's corrupt communication because you're not blessing that thing. If you believe what I'm teaching right now, you'll start speaking life to everything. Paul over there, that might be extreme. Paul over there, that might be extreme. I'm not expecting these. But these pillars, here's what I do say about the pillars. This is a righteous place. These pillars are righteous. Now, have I said that? If I were going to say something about a pillar, I would say that, my friends, is a righteous pillar. Why? Because we're here. Because God's here. Because it's hearing the word of God. It's hearing the singing and the worship to God. Is that an inanimate object? Yeah. Would I ever say that? No, unless I'm talking to you right now, but otherwise. James said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Will it edify anything? That it may minister grace to the hearer, saying something that will minister grace to them. Romans 4:17, God who calls things which be not as though they were. This is the epitome of what we're talking about. God calls things that are not in existence. And he says, come into existence. That's creative ability in words. God uses his creative ability in words, which comes from his heart. So the power is in the heart and coupled with words. When he speaks those things out from his heart, God has a heart, says God has a heart, and he gets hurt sometimes in his heart because of the way we conduct ourselves. But God has a heart. When the words come up out of his heart and he speaks them out of his mouth, they come into manifestation. God says, be imitators of God as dear children. So in my heart, I've got ideas of what I want, and now it's coming up, and I'm speaking life out into something, and it's changing something. Christians, when you go, change something. put this message to work. I'm going to use my words to change something. If your car is old, don't say, you stinking old piece of junk. No, you say, God has blessed me with this one, and God can bless me with a better one. Speak the desired end result and not the undesired end result. Don't curse your car, amen. Don't curse your family. Don't curse your belongings. Don't curse your job. If you want a better job, believe God for a better job. The Bible says, I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in my job. If I'm blessed in my job, I can get a better job. God will bless me with a better job. There's a million better jobs out there for someone who believes what I'm saying, and it can change in a heartbeat. I'm telling you, I got stories I could tell you where God put me ahead of the best people in the whole field of printed circuit board design and electronics and all the things that I was working in. I told you I was building nuclear weapons on missiles that were fired from underwater submarines for undersea systems division of Honeywell. How in the world did you get that job? I could tell you about it sometime. Lastly today, James 3:10, what time is it? Oh, is that fast? Okay, good. James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursings, my brethren, these things ought not to be. I bless you in Jesus' name, you stinking piece of junk. I say good things to my children, you little dwarf. I don't know, I was trying to think of a dirty word to say, but, all right, not a dirty word, but I mean a mean word to say to a kid, but don't curse your kids. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursings, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. 1 Peter 3:10. Peter understands. We blame Peter for being a dork sometimes, but Peter understands so well. He said, keep your tongue from your evil and your lips from speaking guile. Where did he get it from? He got it from the psalmist in Psalm 34:12. What person is he that desires life and loves many days? You want to like your life? Love many days means I'm going to have a good future. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile, speaking contrary, speaking negative, speaking the wrong thing. Quit cursing everything. Now, some of you know better. You've been doing this a long time. I got a couple more verses. I'm going to machine gun through them. I'm on my last page, so I'm going to say some things. Somebody's going to hear it. Could your health be affected? Could it be affected by your lips? Wisdom says the tongue of the wise is health. So what am I saying? He took my infirmity. He bore my sickness, and by his stripes I was healed. That's one. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaks like the piercing of the sword. Oh, I just got stuck by something you said to me, and I'm going to walk away wounded, and I'm not going to be the same, and I'm always going to feel bad, and I'm not going to like you anymore, and I've X'd you off my what are those called? I don't have any of those where they can see your text. What is that called? When you block somebody on what? Facebook or whatever any of those are. I don't have to do any of that because I'm not on any of them. I don't care. The tongue of the wise promotes health. All right, so a couple more and we're done. Psalm 37:30, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. It's repeated again in Proverbs, Psalms, and Proverbs repeats it. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. I don't know what's acceptable. Well, learn. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Learn what's acceptable. 15:28 of Proverbs, the heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil. So we accept that anything evil is negative. Lastly today, Romans 4:17. God quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So God makes alive things that are dead. He did it to us. And he calls those things which don't exist, he calls them into manifestation. That's how God does this stuff. But we can learn so much from all of this message. It's my favorite message on earth. Because you know why? It changed me. It worked for me. It wasn't, I didn't deserve it. But I sought God. I applied these principles. And I tried with the best of my ability to do what he taught me. And it works. And that's why I celebrate it. That's why I love teaching it. That's why I will teach it forever, because it works. Let's bow our heads today. Let's say, dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me. And was raised again from the dead. So that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. And be my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I receive your forgiveness now. And I receive eternal life. I thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Pastor Nancy is going to come up and say what you got to say.
The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
You had your sword out this morning. You were running around with your sword. He's got a couple of swords in the office, in his office, and I thought maybe you were going to bring the sword out, and you didn't. But how do you, what do you do when you're tempted to sin? Well, if you understand that Scripture is a sword, God said his word is the sword of the Spirit. So you need to have a few swords, scriptures, that you can use to put in your mouth. Do you realize that you cannot think crazy if you are speaking something different? As soon as you open up your mouth, your thinking will come along. And your feelings don't matter, because your feelings will always follow your words. Your feelings will catch up. If you want to love your life, I've heard people say to me, I don't like life. I don't like my life. I don't like anything about my life. Change it. Start saying you love life, and you're going to see good days. And guess what? Pretty soon, you're going to love your life, and your days are going to be better. Because what you say, when it's the will of God, the word of God is his will. When you put his word in your mouth, God, I am not going to let any corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. I am only going to speak things that are necessary, things that impart grace to the hearers. Father, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth will be pleasing to you. I mean, sometimes if you don't know anything, will you hand me your Bible real quick? Look, if you're brand new and you don't have any scriptures in your heart yet, open up Proverbs. You're tempted to go do a bunch of stuff you know you're not supposed to do. It's contrary to the person you know God called you to be, and you want your life to change. And you got problems, and you're facing temptation. Right here, open your Bible. I'm in Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Just start reading out loud. Just start reading out loud until whatever you're being tempted with overwhelmingly stops. The other thing you can do is you can start praising God. Praise stills the enemy, and the last thing the devil wants to hang around is you praising God. These are the practical how-tos right here. Everybody say praise. I praise you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I do what's right in your sight. That wasn't hard. And you just keep doing it. You just keep saying it. The more you keep saying it, the more you keep saying it, the more it becomes a reality. The more everything in your life, if your life has been over here, it's because you've been going in the wrong direction. What are you going to do? You got to change it. How do you change it? Takes effort. Takes effort to turn the car around. Takes some navigation to get back on track. But God has a way of getting us all back on track. and moving us forward. And that's what he wants to do. You don't have to be stuck. If you're stuck, get unstuck. You can't blame anybody else. There isn't anybody in this room or anybody watching that hasn't had some kind of trauma in their life, some kind of crazy. I have yet to meet one person. There might be someone out there in this world that has not had some kind of crazy. But I've not met them. So we all have stuff. It's like a level playing field. The ones that will make the effort get to walk in the joy of those efforts. And God is so good and he's so gracious and he helps us all along the way. And he gives us so much grace that even when we are kind of in the net negative, like Pastor Steve said, I know someone who had a terrible time quitting smoking. And every time they made a decision, God, this is it. I'm done with the cigarettes. I don't want to have cancer. I'm done. It's not good for my body. I'm done. But they had, you know, those cravings. And so every time they go out and puff a cigarette, I hate these things. These things are terrible. They taste, this is terrible. I hate it. I reject it in Jesus' name. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Puff, puff, puff. I don't need anything in the world because I've got Jesus. Whatever. I mean, whatever scriptures they had. And guess what? They eventually quit smoking. And they haven't had a cigarette in probably 15, 20 years. So what were they doing? Would that seem a little crazy? Yeah, probably, but guess what? They used what they knew about the power in the Word of God to get out of the situation that they were in. Some stuff is easy. You can turn off your phone. You can get rid of apps. You can just delete. You can cut people out of your life that keep pulling you back into the world. Stop going places that are not prudent and wise. Do not let your feet go there. You're not going to die. In fact, if you do keep going to some of those places, you might. It might cost you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. It starts with this right here. It starts with this. Don't say you can't. Those of you that know me, know that I've told people to just zip it. I don't want to hear you can't. I want to hear I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am well able. I'm fully equipped. Because your feelings don't matter. We can do it. We do live this way. A lot of you do. We can take things up a notch. We can go higher, and we should. Because there are people that are hurting all around us that need the truth, that need a healthy body of Christ, need a healthy church to help all the people, just like you've been helped. There's a whole lot of people right behind you that need help. So we need to get over some things in ourselves, step up, so we can be useful in the kingdom. How's that for a pep talk this morning? We need you. God needs you. You're valuable. You're important. You're important in the kingdom. You're important. You're important to God. And you're important. He called you. He gifted you. You are the only you. Like you. And your testimony and the things that you've been through, those are valuable. Even the hard things that have happened in your life, how God can turn them around for good. You don't have to accept the negative report. You can choose to accept God's report. And a lot of people, when you choose God's report, there could be some resistance, of course. But eventually, if you don't quit, you win. Always. Just don't grow weary. Stand. Some of the scriptures that you shared this morning, I just wrote a note, you know, agree with God. If you want to love life and see good days, quit saying you hate life. I love life. And I do see good days. You'll eventually start to see them, and even if you have a bad day, you won't recognize it because you won't be focused on it. Turn away from evil. If you read past that, keep your lips from speaking evil. Keep your lips from speaking guile, anything contrary to God's word. But you have to turn away from evil, seek peace and pursue it, and do good. That's what 1 Peter says, if you read the rest of that. You have to seek peace. Don't seek chaos. Seek peace. Pursue peace. Pursue the things of God. Do what's right. Do good. Don't just be a lump that doesn't ever do anything good. Do some good. Do some good. It'll make you feel better. All right, I'm done. Turn my notes upside down. We'll receive the offering this morning, and you know, it's kind of that old thing. If you've got your hands clenched like this, so tight, how's God going to get anything in there, right? Because you're hanging on to everything so tightly. But if you learn how to be a giver, and if you learn how to be a generous person, God will help you. Your hands are open. Everything that God gives us, he gives us all everything good. And so when we give this morning, we are giving with a cheerful, glad heart, and we're going to pray over the offering. There's no compulsion, of course. Pastor Steve and I don't look, so if you're here, we don't pay attention to the offerings. We don't look. Other people handle that in the church because we want to love everybody, but we want you to reap the blessing of being a giver and not just a taker. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to give, to sow into your kingdom. God, I pray that you would reward every single person here, those that are faithful and generous, Lord, that you would reward them openly, that you would give each one the desires of their heart as they delight themselves in you. Father, we honor you, we worship you with our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings. And we thank you for the privilege to give in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And for those of you giving online, that just needs to be done on our website, 3degreeschurch.com. And there's a whole new thing where you can use a QR code on your phone, so we're going to look into that. It seems pretty high tech, but pretty easy, I guess. That's gotta just learn some of this new stuff. But anyway, thank you for being here. We're going to open this door at the end of service. So Thanksgiving lunch. Let's just do some quick announcements. So I think it's in 2 weeks. Sunday, November 23rd. I can't believe that we're already in November. But in 2 weeks, Sunday the 23rd, after church, we will serve Thanksgiving dinner for everybody in the church. Most of the people in here don't have family, don't have whatever to celebrate holidays with, so we always like to make that something that we do as a church, that we're the family of God here. And so you are welcome to come and to stay for lunch, and we'll have a whole big Thanksgiving meal, green bean casserole. That's my favorite because I like those fried onion things. In fact, sometimes I just like to eat those out of the can, but I won't. So anyway, that's coming up. Men's group. All the groups are going to be back in December. So guys, Saturday, December 6th, 9 a.m. here at the church. All you guys are welcome. Pastor Steve hasn't decided about breakfast yet. We have a stove in the new kitchen, so that's kind of cool, and he doesn't know how to cook, so we'll see. He's looking at me like, don't volunteer my cooking services. Okay, ladies, we're going to have our Christmas party Saturday, the 13th of December. That'll be here at the church, and that'll be at 11:30. We'll have lunch because the ladies always got to eat when we get together. And then Revelation class, for those of you that are interested in where we're at on God's time clock, that will be Saturday, December 20th at 9 a.m. So the groups are back in December. And yeah, I think that's it for announcements. Have I missed anything? I don't think so. All right, that's it. We'll pray a blessing. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. I pray for your hand of blessing on everything we do, everything we say. Help us, Holy Spirit, put a guard on our lips and our mouths this week that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth do please you today. We honor you. I thank you for all these precious saints that are here today. God, thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for blessing us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.